It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Byram out of the corner. Kulik up top. Scores! What a shot! Jiří Kulik! And it's 5-1 Buffalo.
Jiří Kulik had himself a night on Thursday.
Sorry, and the song took over me for a second.
That's fair.
Weezer.
So, Sabres, though, they go away winning on a Pride night on Thursday night in Buffalo against Pittsburgh. They play against Philadelphia today with a chance. Joe! A real chance to get out of the Eastern Conference basement, baby.
A real Phoenix story here from the ashes.
A real opportunity.
the bird's going to rise, Firebird.
A real opportunity, though, to get out of last place in the Eastern Conference today against Philadelphia, who is the team right ahead of them. And you know what? Go get it, please. I wanted, here's the thing. It's interesting to say this 10 years ahead of time of the original Tank Brigade. But now, no, I don't care where you're drafting this year. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you lose a couple more games to try to better your draft position, because I can tell you right now, you're not going to do worse than Nashville, Chicago, or San Jose. Those teams are firmly below you because they are worse teams.
Mm-hmm.
Those are bad hockey teams with next to no talent. Or apparently in Nashville's case, talent that does not fit together as a team. You're still four clear of Nashville. And game in hand, yada, yada. So right now you're fourth from the worst in the league. You're telling me that fifth worst in the league is so detrimental to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because the draft lottery still exists for all three of those picks.
That it does.
So who cares?
This, you know, I did allude
who
to them.
The bleep cares about losing more games to set up for your position here?
Yeah.
No. At this point, nobody wants to hear that.
No.
Nobody wants to hear
People
that.
People want to see product to end the season. A good product.
Give us something useful to cling on to. Something that Brian and I talked about last week. Brian Koziel and I heading into a game last week. They did proceed to get the brakes beaten off of them by Minnesota that Saturday a week ago.
Yeah.
So hopefully not the same result here today. Though they do have a damn tough time with Philadelphia of all teams for some reason.
They do, but Tortorella is no more.
Burrow's so, no more.
We don't know what could happen there. That could change things.
It also could be the new coach bump.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we thought about that, though, with the Jets this year, with the Bills, right? After they got rid of
Well, think about it.
Robert.
The first game that they play against Buffalo with the new coach bump, it's a one-possession game.
Right, a Hail Mary.
It's a one-score game.
Yeah.
It ultimately is. It comes down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
The second time they played each other, not even close.
Not quite.
Nope.
Tyrod Taylor had to score a touchdown. not Aaron Rodgers.
Yep, love that.
This is more so what I imagine the Sabres crawling out of last
Stop.
Place. Like.
Here's the thing.
Not the Phoenix rising from the ashes, but Danny DeVito just lathered
up with hand
sanitizer.
You can't say, this is what I think, and then not tell people.
I just don't want to describe exactly what it is. If you've seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you'll know. But
if they haven't, they have no idea what you're talking about anyway.
Yes.
So basically, it's still tough, though. Like, I don't care about them crawling out of the basement. I care about just put together, do what you have been doing over the past few years with this team, which is, March is typically fun.
It's fun, but insulting.
It's fun, but insulting in most years. 2 years ago, it was just straight up fun.
Oh, my God,
because they almost got into the playoffs.
1 point out. You think, the vibe, we're only up from here.
The
and
Sabres
then we're even further in the gutter 2 years
later. 2 years ago, the Sabres were the vibes team because they had just missed the playoffs by 1 point and everyone was kind of like getting sour about the Bills constantly losing in the divisional round. Cue to 2 years later. The Bills, with a bunch of lovable goofballs, go back to the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
They still lose to the freaking Chiefs, but, that's their prerogative. Meanwhile, the Sabres, it was just this, I don't know, like 2 years later, it is a different thing. Like Cousins is already gone, and Jack Quinn looks like a shell of himself already. And you don't know what you have to pay JJ Paterka. How much is he even really worth for the team? I think he's needed as a top six fixture on this team, so that's me, but there's a lot of questions. Goaltending, back to being the same problem that it was 2 years ago. Are they going to sign a legitimate veteran this time around?
Like, well, yeah. That's...
Is UPL's time as a Sabre going up in smoke now? Like everything that's happened from the last 2 years has happened, but it is to a point where there is way too much mystery on what to do next to have a solid answer.
It was tough to see it, though, right? I just me looking back, UPL, I didn't think he was going to come back last season, right? Because of the hot and cold performances that he was apt to. But guess what? He puts together an all-time season for him and makes a case, hey, I can be a starting goaltender. We're back to hot and cold in some facet. Not nearly as bad as it used to be. I'm not saying that. But we're back to that standard in a way where you don't have another answer. Craig Anderson was your answer 2 years ago. 41 years old was your answer. This year, Lindy's going a different direction regularly. Is that telling? That's what I
It's quite telling. And the thing is that now you're looking at, with what Lukanen has done in particular, career year last year, it was a career best. He wins 27 games. He actually has a winning record on the season as a whole with Buffalo last year. 27-22-4. So he actually goes with a winning record if you count the overtime losses as just losses. 2.57 goals against. 9.10 save percentage. Those things would be amongst the best that he does. And this year, he dove right back into the numbers that were from 2 years ago. 8.88 save percentage. 3.16 goals against. And this year, it's 23-22-4.
Yeah.
So it's not like Lukanen is truly turning the tides at this point either.
Mm-hmm.
He had 5 shutouts last year. He has 2 this year.
Yeah. And it's tough because, yes, you did get Devin Levi in that time. And everyone's like, let him cook. He does a great job in Rochester. Whenever he's called up to the NHL, though, it doesn't,
he's not ready.
Doesn't work. He's not ready.
And that's
how much
fair.
Longer? It is, because look at the way the team has developed
not
over
even the
2 years.
Ready? it's fair because Zach and I talked about this yesterday. Goalies are weird.
They take a little longer sometimes.
They take sometimes a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
To a point where you don't know what's truly happening. And you sometimes move on from a goaltender before you should.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres had one of those instances. Robin Lehner. I think they moved on from him way sooner than they should have. But it was because he was losing them points in the standings because he could not solve a shootout for the life of him.
Right.
But then he goes and wins the Jennings Trophy with the Islanders. He becomes a Vezina candidate with Vegas. And it's another one of those examples of, oh, players play great when they flourish outside of Buffalo.
Unfortunately.
I would like to present to you the counter dish of Casey Mittelstadt, by the way.
Yeah. Not for that point, I have this one. Like, that's yes. Essentially what it is, because exactly. It just cancels it out.
If it happened everywhere, there'd be 31 teams trying to get players from Buffalo through hell or high water. Like, you give up 4 first-round picks at that point for a good player on the Buffalo Sabres.
Because mm-hmm. You know they're going to be lights out for your team.
Yeah. Like, you're probably trying to trade 2 firsts for Alex Tuch.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you know the answer is, oh, they get better when they play away from Buffalo, right? No, not always.
Not quite.
Like, that's not how it goes. Otherwise, teams would be trying to do that.
So I guess my question, though, like, looking at this team the way it stands right now, it's easy this season to just be frustrated with how the performance has been, right? They're, right now, we just said it. It's almost insulting, but it's fun to watch because they actually play somewhat okay hockey in the March.
And the
where
thing
do
is,
they go from here? Like, next season, what is the expectation?
So, ready? Let's talk about it one at a time. March and how it can be kind of insulting, it is because of the fact that the team has, typically, with this core, gotten off to bad starts.
Extremely.
They tend to, when the second half of the season rolls around, they tend to play better.
Yeah, when the Bills are done playing football, that's normally when you see the uptick from the Sabres.
But it's also, they tend to play better. Under Jason Botterill, that core, we got the famous quote of meaningful games in March, and typically it was the home stretch that team buries itself. He said the meaningful games in March thing, and then they proceeded to collapse and take themselves out of a potential playoff run. Or they were the top team in the NHL in the standings on December 1st, and they end up finishing and drafting like 8th overall.
Mm-hmm.
In a year where St. Louis, on that same date, was finishing or was at last place in the entire NHL standings, they go to win the Stanley Cup. That was not a nice year.
No.
The Ryan O'Reilly trade, that was, you want to talk about insulting, that was kind of insulting. Like, yes, getting Tage Thompson was great, but could you imagine if the pick wasn't 31 overall? Turned out to be Ryan Johnson. What to do from here?
Mm-hmm. Because Lindy sounds like he's coming back.
There are two things that you want to have done. First, we have to accept the reality that Kevin Adams is going to be here, okay? Because he sounds like a man that he is not going anywhere. And he's making moves at the deadline, for instance, like a general manager who's not going anywhere. So two things. One, get another top four defenseman. Samuelson has shown he's not it.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if I say Matias Samuelson, two-way Sabres fan, typically they're not going to be radio safe comments at this point.
Yeah. The FCC will be hunting you down for
like
what
if
you
I
have say, to
say something about if I say the words Matias Samuelson, two-way Sabres fan, out near the arena, I can't promise what I say can be repeated.
And they're also going to look for him somewhere. They think he's out there.
Yeah,
run
but
after
I would like to see a top four defenseman, so you can pair him up reliably with power. Byram, I'm not sure what to think of him at this point. I don't know if it's that he does just genuinely play better with Rasmus Dahlin because who doesn't? Or is he actually a capable and fine player on his own right? It's going to depend on the contract demand.
Yeah.
So you need a top four defenseman anyway with the questions surrounding Byram.
It would be nice, though, to keep Byram in some facet, pair him with Dahlin because he plays well when he's paired with Dahlin, like you said, and then get another top four defenseman to just pair with Power, like you said. But so you don't have to keep, oh, Power, Dahlin, you know what I'm saying? Like moving
I do want to keep looking at the deployments of Jacob Bernard Docker, though,
mm-hmm.
Because he does seem to be a very reliable player in his own end.
Okay.
That is someone that Power could truly utilize. A player who stays responsible in his own end. He's a right-handed shot, so you don't have to worry about the fluctuation between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Responsible, stay at home, let Power do his thing. And the last game against Pittsburgh, oddly enough, where they score seven goals, is the first time that Bernard Docker, since going in the lineup, did not register a point.
Yeah.
So red-hot JBD is no more. But I think Bernard Docker is someone that you can even try to look at as a potential in-house solution. I would still say you need a top four defenseman candidate anyway. The other thing you need is someone to help push down the order in the forward core. You need a top six forward. And when I say top six forward, I typically am trying to say try to swing big and get a top line forward.
Is that a superstar in your mind?
Yes.
Yep. You Ready? Need that superstar.
The hill I'm going to die on, and I've got plenty of reasons of why.
Mm-hmm. I think you have 14 thereabout.
I would say there's 16.
Okay.
As in the jersey number of Mitch Marner.
Okay. Okay.
Marner becoming a free agent. He's a known Bills fan. He has not signed a contract extension with Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
He's not given team-friendly deals with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, and for anyone around here to be like, oh, we hate Toronto, we don't want blah, 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 blah. No, we're way past that. You're 14 years into a playoff job.
No.
Absolutely not.
If that's your reasoning, come on, be real. The true counter-arguments that you'll hear from fans is about how he plays soft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but if you have a guy who threatens to consistently be a top five in points in the National Hockey League, that you have a chance to sign him, get him.
And you give him the opportunity, right, to lead the charge for this new team and get them into the playoffs, that might be a little bit of an incentive to be the guy that did it. Do you know what I'm saying?
And Zach said something yesterday when I mentioned it to him along the lines of, Marner's biggest question and flaw is the playoffs and his playoff performance. I'll tell you what, for at least the first year, nobody's going to care.
There are no playoff expectations than making it, baby. That's it. You could lose every game.
You can have 0 points in the playoffs and get swept.
Yes. Make it.
Make it to the playoffs, you're already considered a huge improvement, and then we can work on that ghost of yours later.
Yeah. We have the wide receiver big board. Kevin Adams' office, they have the Sabres to-do list. Giant piece of cardboard.
It's just Mitch Marner.
All it says is Mitch Marner / make playoffs.
Mitch Marner no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it should be.
Above all else, Mitch Marner.
And it's a free agent. So
I'd get his jersey right away if he came.
All you need is money. That's it.
Yeah. And you have money. You have money. Let's not sit here and act like we're cap-strapped, okay? Because that's not the case. That is not the case with the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, there's a chance. There's legitimately a chance. And I do think that there is something to be said about how, in last week, Brian Colzie and I, we had a really fun discussion about Terry Pegula and the optics of how he looks as a Sabres owner, especially with the fact that he was ranked 32nd out of 32 owners.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fix the perception? Get him on a plane, and Koziel said, get Josh Allen on that plane.
Go to Mitch's house.
Fly your ass to Toronto.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Even if you wanted to get in the car, in the motorcade, it's only an hour drive. That's the sell. Mitch, you could see Josh Allen on the daily, and it's not that far of a commute.
It's not that far of a commute, and that is something that Koziel and I talked about last week as well. There's a healthy percentage of players from Southern Ontario. It is actually supposed to be one of the Sabres' biggest recruiting tools.
Exactly.
It's how you got Jeff Skinner.
Yes. It's exactly how you got Jeff Skinner.
But Skinner was excited to play here because it was close to home.
Yeah. The sell is, you don't have to relocate completely across the United States, right? You can just cross the border. And that's
it. You're a top-tier player. You come into Buffalo, you'll be hailed as a top-tier player.
Mm-hmm.
You also have witnessed, on the football side, what it means to be great in Buffalo.
Yep. And Josh Allen said it to Joey Bosa. They're talking about a Super Bowl. It's a different situation. But you'll be immortalized.
For example, if you make the playoffs with this team,
your name will never be forgotten.
Your name will never be forgotten because you are a drought breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod Taylor is not one of the pinnacle players of the National Football League's history.
Better than Aaron Rodgers.
I will tell you right now that in Buffalo, the man is immortalized.
Yeah, whenever he comes back, he gets a standing ovation. He's the hometown hero.
He is the drought breaker.
Yeah.
You look at players like him and McCoy favorably because of what they did.
Right.
Kyle Williams is a legend.
I mean, any of those guys are.
Any of those guys on that team, immortalized. Well, Nathan Peterman was immortalized for a different reason, but he was on that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
He technically has a win to his name because of it.
That's right.
Because of Joe Webb. He started that game against Indianapolis.
Yep.
The snow game.
Oh, my God. What a game, too, by the way. Like, I see the NFL film of that. I remember sitting there watching that. I couldn't believe it.
But that's the point is, you could turn to Mitch Marner and go, you're the piece we need. And you've seen it because of this 6'5 goofball right here to my right. Or my left.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on where he's standing. This guy can tell you everything about being immortalized in Buffalo.
Yep. And Terry also slips him a season ticket to Bills games. It says, you're good for it.
The Sabres have been in the suite for Bills games.
I know.
So you don't even need to slip it to him. Just be like, hey, here you go. These are yours now, too.
Just written,
go
in,
enjoy,
just written in crayon on a piece
of paper. Go enjoy game, but enjoy responsibly. That's all.
Written in crayon. Bills tickets on a piece of paper.
Bills
piece of
suite.
Loose leaf college rule paper.
All right, we'll come back. You had something to say about Stephon Diggs.
I did.
And he was introduced to New England yesterday. Some interesting quotes.
It's
not bad. Interesting, by the way.
Yeah, something to say is not negative, by the way. I just want to point that out. We'll tease it.
We'll talk more about that coming up here. Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Sabres pregame coming up in a half hour here on WGR.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm excited. I really look forward to it. It's crazy because when you ask around, he has a lot of similarities. Well, people say through the grapevine, he acts a lot like Josh, and that was my guy. So I look forward to meeting and connecting with him.
Stephon Diggs introduced to the New England Patriots yesterday, and a very interesting quote there about how Josh is my guy.
Did you hear C.J. Stroud mention it at all?
No.
Because truthfully, I think the toxicness of their relationship is far overplayed.
It was definitely overplayed to a point, but I will say,
I think some of it's there.
Everything that I said about it on the Extra Point show is still very relevant, which is Stephon Diggs knows the type of role that he wants to have within an offense, and he still believes he can compete in said role in the offense. If he's not going to be one of the people of, I don't want to say importance, but like, he does want to be one of the guys
making the contributions. He wants to be one of those guys that is making plays for the team. There's a degree of pride in that. Like, yeah, there's ego in there as well, but come on, you're an NFL player. You have to have an ego. How do you not?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised Andrew Luck lasted as long as he did, as gentlemanly as he was.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that was a great hit, man. Like, but even then, Andrew Luck had that too. Everyone does. You're in the NFL. You got to have a little bit of the nasty and a little bit of the ego in there. But for Stephon Diggs, he also points out, I'm one of the only receivers that had 6 1,000-yard seasons consecutively before the injury.
Mm-hmm.
The production, it's always been there. I can move the chains. I can do intermediate. I can go deep. I did it all throughout my career. My resume probably speaks for itself. But it was more so the injury that would deter or make the money that is what it is about the contract he was given.
Yeah.
He knows what he's capable of. He knows that he should be putting up these numbers. And if you look at the entirety of Stephon Diggs' timeline, when he has some sort of departure from a team, it is because of the fact that the team is moving on to a non-focal point with Diggs for his role. So he wants to go somewhere that will give him that. But I don't think this has anything to do with vengeance, trying to be salty about Buffalo and trying to play him twice a year. I think this just has to do with he knows that New England's going to give him the best situation. Ready? Look at how he got traded to Houston. And then he reworks his contract with Houston to become a free agent at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, it's theory. And I have to make sure I'm saying that. It's theory, but
allegedly,
he wasn't going to be the focal point of that offense.
No, you have Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Those two guys are going to be, they're younger, and they're going to be the focal point.
Exactly.
And honestly, Nico Collins is the focal point, not even Tank Dell.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your thing. He reworks his contract so that he can leave Dallas within 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And now he signs with a team that gave him, a bigger contract than I think a lot of people were expecting this late in free agency. But B, he goes to a team where he's the focal point.
Exactly.
Drake May's going to have a great time throwing to Stephon Diggs. Because who the hell else are you throwing to?
Matt Collins. I guess.
Hey, you know what? Right? If you're snagging up Bills receivers, it's not a bad idea, I would say.
No, it's not.
Not a bad idea at all.
Because look at Mac Hollins' leap in production. I mean, leap in production is definitely a way to put it because he really had no chance to produce before that. But he looked like a true wide receiver on the Bills.
And the thing was that Mac Hollins, the fact that he was given 2 years with a total of $8 million, like, hey, you take that. You're a journeyman player on this team.
Yeah.
Or in this league, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a guy and you have a team that's like, hey, 2 years, $8 million, let's go.
You take the best financial deal for you. It's business. And that's honestly what Stephon Diggs did. And
precisely.
He answered it in the press conference. They were like, yo, you see Buffalo twice a year. Was that something you ever thought you'd see? And he's like, I don't think about that when I'm on other teams, like where I could end up.
Right.
But he's like, it's good to be back in the AFC East to see all these guys again regularly. And I don't think it's vengeance related whatsoever. I think that, you know, the initial hit of it was like, oh my God, Diggs is now an AFC East rival. And honestly, I think they're second place in the AFC East next season.
The thing is that I think he'll have fun with the villain arc, but I'm also going to say, no, you don't need to boo him.
No. It's not Jack Eichel.
Because he has never directly insulted the fans.
No, he has not.
Not, and I have to say it with concise language, he's never directly insulted the fans. That's what it is.
He even boosted Josh Allen for MVP this past season while he was injured. He said, shoddy ballin' for real. That's a direct quote, by the way.
That's a tweet quote?
Yep.
But that's the thing. It's a big deal knowing that he's going to end up with being the focal point,
mm-hmm.
being the guy. Here's your chance. Again, to do that.
I think it's
easy.
It's honestly, it's going to be more entertaining to watch Bills Patriots games now.
Good.
Because those games to end the season
last
year.
God, this is going to sound arrogant, and I hate every fiber of my being for this. Good. I need a little spice in the AFC East right now. Come on.
Yeah. Running through the Dolphins and Jets. I mean, the Jets, the first game, like we talked about 25 minutes ago, was rather exciting, actually, with the Hail Mary and things like that. But it's fun to see a divisional opponent actually strengthening a little bit, because the Dolphins have been the Dolphins. And yes, they won one game in the past few years against you. And then you have the Patriots, who've just been at the bottom since Brady left and Belichick left. They're trying to rebuild. Vrabel was the guy to do it. They're looking, I think they're second place. I think it's Bills, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins next season. I think the Dolphins are just sitting at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I miss having competition for the AFC East.
No, but it's like when you get the fast go-kart at a go-kart track and you're just sitting in front. You're like, you know what, I'm going to slow up here. And I kind of want him to get close and I'm going to pull away, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you want a little bit of competition.
Want a little bit of drama.
We've even said how boring last regular season was until the playoffs.
Right.
Like, when they clinched the division without even playing the Patriots in November? Like, what? It was not fun.
Yeah, the fact that New England had not even seen you.
No.
And you clinched the division without them.
Without playing a divisional opponent.
Without seeing them.
Yes.
It's, yeah.
That was laughable.
It's a sorry state. And
so it's good to see a little bit of competition coming back.
Yeah, and honestly, it is kind of funny that, like, who's the next closest threat to the Bills? Oh, it's the same one that put you down for two decades.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They're doing the right things, though. I got to give New England credit. Mike Vrabel was a great hire.
They still have a lot of work to do with that offensive line, though.
They do, and that's, I think, what's going to be their weakness the entire season. But that you can add to that over time. Like, they've gotten their offense set for a little bit, minus the offensive line.
Let's channel two decades worth of hate real quick, all right?
Okay.
Oh, it'll be so funny if Travis Hunter doesn't go number four to the Patriots. Because then Patriots fans will have to ask themselves, why did Joe Milton have to ball out in week 18 against Buffalo's backups?
Yep.
They'll be like, why? No. And I'm going to be over here going, so yeah, that's where I'm at. Like,
he did ball out.
The thing is that I don't need to hate Stephon Diggs, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still thankful for what he did in Buffalo.
You look back at that 2020 season with
also,
him and Allen.
Remember the thing about the lasting image, the last thing you see about a player before they're gone. Mm-hmm. What's the lasting image of Stephon Diggs in a Bills uniform, though?
Not even the arms up in the Bengals.
It's the drop.
It's the drop from the can. Yep. The dime right into the breadbasket that he drops.
Against Kansas
City. And then
City.
It's this. Mm-hmm. The oh just so close.
I think that was him saying,
I almost had it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was. That everyone was turned that around and was like, you were this close. I was like, I don't know about that.
Was,
like,
that was we were this close.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly how I interpret that.
Yeah.
Interpret that.
But I don't think it's a dig.
But the thing is that the last thing that you saw of Diggs in a Bills uniform, the picture that always gets circulated around now is
the drop.
His drop.
There's already edits of him in a Patriots uniform standing there with his hands on his hips, by the way, at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing that going around.
I mean, that's fine. But again, that's the last thing that you saw of Diggs in a Bills uniform. And it's not a good sight. Much like how I mentioned Dylan Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing that you saw of him in a Sabres uniform was
watching his
it took him way too long to get into a scrum where his captain's getting smacked around by three Lightning players.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
the lasting image does have an effect.
That, it does.
That's absolutely true.
It does.
But I think I'm more excited to see Diggs twice a year. Because even Houston last year, there was a lot of hate behind watching that game. And the Bills lost, right?
And there was a lot of hate behind watching that game because I hated how bad that game was.
Well, yeah, it was disgusting.
Both
at the
teams
end.
Were trying to hand the other the loss.
Yeah.
But or the win. Take your pick.
Even the Allen and Diggs meetup on the field.
Yeah, that little like side eye thing.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
No, ready? That's also someone could be looking at him real quick and then turning away to another person.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, I feel like it's not that deep unless somebody explicitly says so.
Yep. Agreed. And What are you going to do about it? At this point, I think they're going to be more cordial than not because they know they're going to be seeing each other twice a year. So there's nothing nothing to worry about.
Or he leans into it. I don't know which.
Could be a heel turn. Who knows?
But I do know that he'll have fun with the fans here because he always does.
I wonder if those New England fans are ever going to remember the you.
Those four fans definitely remember.
Yeah, and now he plays for your team.
Yep.
So
you. Words I can't say in radio.
Yep, exactly.
All right, we'll go to break real quick. We'll get Brian Colziel in here as we lead up to Sabres pregame. They take on the Flyers at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, this is Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
To me,
there's a pass to the middle picked off by Hayes. Hayes with a direct line to the net. Bothered, backhand save, Reimer rebound! And James Reimer coming up big there to keep this in a two-goal lead.
James Reimer played relatively well as well on Thursday night, and it'll be interesting to see what the deployment looks like over the weekend here for the Sabres, including this afternoon against the Philadelphia Flyers. And as we typically do before a Sabres game on a Saturday, we get Brian Colziel rung up here to talk about, as little of the Sabres as we can for Brian's sake, but we typically still try to get him on here before a Sabres game. Brian, how you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, last week we were trying to figure out ways to not talk about him, but guess what? They won three times. They won three times this week, so maybe they deserve a little bit more of the today.
And boy, did we talk about them, though, last week, Brian. It was probably one of the better conversations that we've had about them. In the terms of a long-term stance on what we need from them at this point to help their image and their off-season going into it as they're in the last 11 games of the season here.
Yeah, I think that they, not to rehash what we did, but for those that didn't hear it, it starts at the top with Terry Pegula. Like, the image of the team and the perception of it league-wide with coaches and players and media and podcasters and all these things is not good. And you know who can change that? The owner can. And I think, I brought up the example of him going to Calgary in 2011 to go fly to try to convince Robin Regier to accept the trade to Buffalo. Like, I'm not saying that he hasn't tried to help with trades or anything like that, but, you have to... That getting out, that story, that just shows, man, the owner is committed. He is frontmost a part of this process to the point that he is willing to fly all the way out to Calgary to convince me to do so and tell me why it's a good reason to say yes to this team. And I think we know obviously what Buffalo's been in the standings, and we have seen various media outlets report, what are players, where do they want to play? Well, Buffalo's second last. Oh, let's rank the owners. The owner is last. All these sort of places and things that have come up where there's all this negativity and how they handle the Jack Eichel situation. Like, of course players talk. And Kevin Adams is saying it's hard to make moves. Well, if you want players to take Buffalo off of their no-trade list, then they have to feel better about where the Sabres are at. Now, part of that is going to be helped by if they win and they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But while there's only so much of that Terry Pegula can control at this moment, he can control what the public's perception is. And I think getting out and making it seem as if that he's still committed 100% and willing to do anything, including flying to Calgary to convince a player to come here, I think that's what he's got to do.
And again, not to rehash those things, I did point out as much as I could when I was on either Extra Point Show or today as well, our conversation that we had last week, Brian, because of the fact that, yeah, there is ways for Pegula to help with that, and I'm going to continue to die on the hill about Mitch Marner, and we don't need to rehash that. We've got all offseason to rehash that. But you just mentioned it as we were starting here. They've won their last three games, and they're 9 points out of the playoffs again. They closed half of the distance they were at a week ago when we were talking. And all that you can go ahead and do is shrug your shoulders and go, why did you lose 13 in a row? Because if you change just two of those games around, we are having a different conversation.
Even if you just give two wins, like you said, that would put them at 70 points. Guess who has the last playoff spot? A team with 75.
Yeah.
And you've got games in hand on some of these teams in front of you as well. Yeah, it would definitely be. I mean, that's all it would take is two wins. If Buffalo had 70 right now, today we're sitting here saying, hey, you could win and you could close within 3 points of a playoff spot. Like, and guess what? You still have Columbus on your schedule. So, yeah, it's painful to think that it even didn't even take that much. The East is there for the taking this year. Nobody wants to win it, this final playoff spot. I want, if anybody today looks at the standings in the East, look at Columbus, who has the last spot in the East, all the way down to Buffalo. You want to see how nobody wants it? Columbus is the last team in. They've won 3 of their last 10. Montreal is the first team out. They've won 3 of their last 10. The Rangers are the next team, 3 of their last 10. The Islanders are the next team, 4 of their last 10. Detroit, 3 of their last 10. Boston, 2 of their last 10. Pittsburgh, 5 of their last 10. Philadelphia, 2 of their last 10. And then Buffalo, 6. So out of wildcard 2 all the way to the bottom, the Sabres have played the best in their last 10. But nobody is reaching out and grabbing this wildcard 2 spot. Ottawa's sitting there saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe no one's pushing us for wildcard 1. We're going to actually make the playoffs. So the Senators are. And by the way, also too, side note, because we're always focused on where Buffalo is sitting, the Atlantic Division race is awesome. And I forgot about it. Florida, Toronto, Tampa, all 72 games played. They all have 10 to go. 91, 90, and 89. And it matters this year. Sometimes it doesn't. You're telling me the chance of playing Ottawa, or you got to face one of the other teams? If you're Toronto and you're like, would you rather play the Senators, or do you want to go play Florida or Tampa next? Like, or if you're Florida, you want to go play Toronto or absolutely not. Sign me up for Ottawa. Ottawa's a nice story, but don't convince me they're on the level of those three teams. Like, I would want to play Ottawa 10 out of 10.
Yeah. And that you mentioned all these things. And I just had an audible gasp. You said, look at the last 10 of all these teams. Not only that, Brian, I'm going to do you one better here. Columbus is the only team that has a winning streak of those teams.
Yes.
At all. Montreal lost. Yeah. Montreal lost their last 5. Rangers lost their last 2. Islanders lost their last 3. Red Wings have lost their last 2. Boston has lost 7 in a row. The Sabres, if they were in this playoff race at all and not in last place in the East, they would be the hottest team in the wild card race.
Yep.
I hate it here.
It really is. It's, you know, it really is frustrating because it legitimately was going to be the year that they could have done it. All right, here's another painful stat.
Cool.
Right now, Columbus, who's playing, who's wildcard 2, they're playing at a 528 save percentage, 528 points percentage for this season. If they stay on that pace, that will give them 86.5 points.
Are you kidding me?
87 points is what's projected to take a wild card spot. 87 is what's projected.
Are we
Buffalo,
trying?
By the way, if they go 11-0 and finish 11-0, they'll have 88.
That's,
you know,
first of all,
if you
win 11 in a row would be some sort of karmic retribution for losing 13 in a row. I'll take it. But also, you know, I guess we're ending the show for me depressed, like how I was starting the show. My guys in Purdue lost, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm sad to start the show. Now I'm going to be sad to end it, Brian.
On a brilliantly run inbound play. That was
That was too good.
That was a nice play.
But hey, you know what? If you're going to go out, at least go out on a buzzer beater like that. Because most of the Sweet 16 round was not close games. So I'll take it. If you're going to go out, don't go out like a chump.
It's the final 8, 1 versus 2, 1 versus 2, 1 versus 2, and 1 versus 3. We definitely did not get any of these Cinderella stories this year. I always feel like you need one.
You need one. These
matchups are going to be very good, but it'd be kind of cool if there was one, you know, 11 seed mid-major team in there just to have a little Cinderella possibility.
We need a Loyola Chicago in there, you know, represent the little guy.
Yep.
Brian, appreciate you taking the time again. And we're not running as late as we did last week, but we got to go. So we'll hear you more on pregame coming up.
Okay. Thanks, Derek.
Brian Colziel there. You'll hear from him plenty more coming up next. Sabres and Flyers pregame starting next here on WGR.